What does it mean to be Hippocrates, to be hypocritical? It came to describe in the ancient world one whose whole life was a piece of acting.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Our subject has been for several weeks the molding of a man. And that really is the subject that consumes the material in the first seven verses, which is in essence the first paragraph of the book of 2 Timothy. We've looked already at how God molded the Apostle Paul. Then we began to look at the young man Timothy, first Paul, the apostolic servant, and then Timothy, the apostolic son. He was the son of the Apostle Paul secondarily. He was the son of God primarily. He was the son of the Apostle Paul in the sense that Paul was the human agent that God had used to bring Timothy to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We said there were really two basic ideas. One, there was the ultimate source of his fashioning or molding into Christ-likeness. And the ultimate source was what God had done immediately in his life. He had become the Son of God. Now we come to the unfolding source of that fashioning. And that's the material that's contained in verses 3 to 7. There follows now, following verses 1 and 2, a very personal paragraph. I hope you're reading through the book of 2 Timothy. I would urge you to do that on a regular basis. Paul mentions four major influences which had contributed to the shaping and the molding of the young man Timothy. And those are the things we want to get to. Paul says, the first thing that comes to my mind is your parental upbringing. And he mentions that in verse 5. And that special blessing that God provided for you through your parental upbringing was an example of consistency. Then he says, not only was there that parental upbringing that was a part of the unfolding source of your fashioning, but also there was your spiritual friendship. Spiritual friendship provided conversion and consolidation in the Christian faith. Then there was a third ingredient, his special endowment from God. God gave him two kinds of gifts. One, he gave him a ministry gift that provided for him competency. He gave him a ministry gift and he gave him an energy gift, which provided for him courage. And then his personal discipline. Timothy, stir up the gift of God. There's something for us to do as well as something for God to do. Timothy, stir up the gift of God, which is in thee. And that provided for him an image of credibility to those to whom he ministered. Now let's talk about his parental upbringing. This is very important. Do you notice what verse 5 says? When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. He's talking about his family. He's talking about his parental upbringing. He's talking about the molding, fashioning, shaping, formative influence that that godly family had on his life. You know, Paul in this paragraph refers both to his own and to Timothy's ancestry. He talks about his forefathers in verse 3. And he talks about Timothy's mother and grandmother in verse 5. It was very significant in the mind of Paul, the ancestry, the parental influence, the formative fashioning influence of godly parents and grandparents on their children and their grandchildren. That's always the place to begin. Because every man is to a greater or a lesser extent the product of his inheritance. The most formative influence on each of us, either for good or for evil. The most formative influence, not the exclusive influence, not the only influence, but the most formative influence, either for good or for evil, on each of us has been our parentage and our home. It is true, and we need to be very clear about this issue, that no man can inherit his parents' faith. We cannot inherit genetically, biologically, our parents' faith as we inherit facets of their personality. But a child can be led to faith, as Timothy was, by his parents' example, by his parents' teaching, and by his parents' prayers. And whenever I think of a concept like that, and I think of my own relationship to my three children, that to me is an awesome thought. The formative power, the fashioning, molding, shaping influence of parents over their children. It's an awesome thought. The vitality of our Christian experience as parents will very likely determine the vitality of our children's Christian experience. If there is no vitality, no dynamic, no energy, no power, no conviction attached to our experience as parents, we can expect that the same kinds of negative results will surface in the lives of our children. Our children need to see demonstrations of God's power in our lives, in our families. We need to teach them not only God's words, but God's works. And we need to point them not only to those works of God which occurred centuries ago, but to those works of God which are surfacing in our lives as parents and in our family. They need to see that God is alive today and that He meets the needs of people and that there are demonstrations of power occurring in our lives as we develop and cultivate and deepen and broaden our relationship with our God. When they see that kind of vitality in our lives as parents, that vitality will be reproduced in their Christian experience. You know, there's a very unfortunate progression with respect to New Testament Christianity that has evolved in our day. I wonder if I could share it with you. It's fourfold. A very unfortunate, it's very simple, only take a moment to share it. A very unfortunate progression with respect to New Testament Christianity that has evolved in our day. It goes something like this. To our forefathers, New Testament Christianity was a vital experience. To our forefathers, generations ago, several generations ago, two generations ago, to our forefathers, New Testament Christianity was a vital experience. To our fathers, New Testament Christianity was an inheritance. To ourselves, that is, at least to many modern Christians, maybe not to every one of us, but at least to many modern Christians, to ourselves, New Testament Christianity is nothing more than a convenience, not a conviction, not something upon which we would stake our lives, not something for which we would die, not something for which we are willing to stand alone. For many modern Christians, to their forefathers, New Testament Christianity was a vital experience. To their fathers, it was a powerful inheritance. But to many of us, it is nothing more than a convenience. And may I suggest that there's one more step in that progression? If it is true that New Testament Christianity is nothing more than a convenience to us, do you know what it will be to our children? Nothing other than a nuisance. And it has become that in many modern Christian families. But when Timothy looked at his family, when he looked at his mother and his grandmother, he saw there a dynamic example of vital Christianity. He came from a godly home where the mighty and lofty principles of the Scriptures were lifted up, where there was a reverence for God and His Word, first in Judaism and then in New Testament Christianity, where there was a reverence for God and His Word, where there was a loyalty to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and that had a powerful impact on that young man Timothy. It made him a great man of God. We have a proud privilege, parents, and an awesome responsibility to be a living example of vital New Testament Christianity to our children. There was a particular benefit that was conveyed by Eunice, his mother, and Lois, his grandmother. And that particular benefit is identified in verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Do you see it? He says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. It's in Timothy, but first it was in Lois and then Eunice. First Lois, his grandmother, and then Eunice, his mother. The particular benefit conveyed by Eunice and Lois to Timothy, which became a powerful factor in molding and fashioning Timothy into all that God intended for him to be, was their unfeigned faith. What is unfeigned faith? In a word, that's an old English word, unfeigned. To feign something means to fake it. The Greek word is anupakrates. It means unhypocritical. They had an unhypocritical faith. They were sincere people. They possessed a saving faith. They had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and received Him as Lord and Savior, and it was real in their lives. It wasn't artificial. It wasn't superficial. It wasn't frothy emotionalism. They paid a price to be a Christian in Lystra, Timothy's hometown. They had a saving faith, and they had a dynamic living faith. Every day of their lives, they walked by faith. As you've therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, Colossians 2:6, so walk ye in Him every day. You receive Him by an active faith. You follow Him daily with an attitude of faith, an attitude of dependence upon the sufficiency of God to meet every one of your needs. That was the kind of faith that permeated the spirit of Timothy's home. It was an unhypocritical faith. They were sincere people who held out to their family first. And that's the place to begin, men and women, parents. They held out to their family first. Sincere faith, unhypocritical faith. And then to the watching world, a consistent example of godly living. Sometimes we reverse that order. You know what? It's a lot easier to go out into the workaday world and get lost in the anonymous quality of that world and put on a thin veneer of Christianity that makes us respectable in the world, but we really are what we are at home. So the scripture says that Lois and Eunice before Timothy revealed an unfeigned and unhypocritical faith. What does it mean to be hypocritical? You know, this term, hypocrites, it's the Greek word. We get our English word hypocrisy from it. What does it mean to be hypocrites, to be hypocritical? It came to describe in the ancient world one whose whole life was a piece of acting, was used of an actor on the stage. It came to describe in the ancient world one whose whole life was a piece of acting without any sincerity behind it at all. Paul says to Timothy, and Timothy concurs, Timothy says, that is precisely what I never saw in my mother. I never saw hypocrisy. I never saw it in my grandmother. I never saw in my family hypocritical faith. I saw unfeigned, unhypocritical faith. He saw always and only unfeigned faith. He never saw two sets of values. He saw one. He saw Christians within the framework of his family, believers in God and in Christ. When Paul came and preached about Christ, he saw believers who lived their lives by God's principles and not by the world's. Not two sets of principles, not two sets of values, but one. It was unhypocritical faith. He never saw in his parents a thin veneer of religiosity that made them respectable and acceptable before the watching world, but which covered over a deep-rooted hypocrisy and venom. He never saw it. I tell you, that was a molding, shaping, fashioning, formative, powerful influence in the life of Timothy. That's what made him a man of God. We have tremendous potential in our families, tremendous power as parents, for good and for the glory of God in raising up our children, according to God's principles.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.